Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Please join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Part of growing up is having skinned knees and skinned elbows and maybe even a skinned forehead. As parents, you simply need to accept the fact that your children will have wounds on their knees and on their hands and anywhere else where their skin is in contact with cement. If helping your child through those painful moments wasn't hard enough, then you have the added responsibility of helping your child heal. What do I mean? I think many parents know that once the scab starts to heal, it becomes very interesting to your child. Sometimes I wonder if Band-Aids weren't created to simply keep children from picking on their wounds rather than helping them with the healing process. When our children were growing up, we'd often say to them, "Stop picking at it, or you'll make it worse." It doesn't make sense, does it? Why revisit the wound and make it bleed more? It all doesn't make any sense. But there is something in us that can't stop picking at the wounds. And this doesn't just go for physical wounds, but it also goes for deep wounds in the heart and for psychological and emotional wounds that we have experienced. And we keep going back and we keep picking at them. Now, Jesus does not give us typical advice regarding wounds this morning. Rather than leaving his wounds alone, he shows them off. And he has others pick at them. And rather than making things worse, they make it all better. Jesus shows off his resurrected body to his disciples. His hands, his feet, his side, and nothing is healed over. He actually has them pick at his wounds, and rather than making things worse, they make it all better. Now, we think that we might have a tendency to imagine Jesus with scars, but holes are not scars. They are holes. They are wounds. Now, I've visited plenty of people in the hospital, and I know you have, Pastor Mac, also. People that have holes. And in every case, they have a doctor specifically devoted to closing the wounds up and making sure that they're left alone. Strangely, Jesus has Thomas actually touch the wounds. Now, the King James Version of the Bible translates verse 27, I think, in an incredible way. It says that instead of placing his hands in his side, he thrusts them in his side. "Thrust your hand into my side, Thomas." So Thomas's non-sanitized hands are going inside and touching the wounds. And accordingly, this should make things worse, not better. But did you hear the gospel this morning? Did you catch that Jesus, on his first visit, says to his disciples, "Peace! Peace be with you." And then he shows them his hands and he shows them his side. And the disciples were overjoyed. Things were made better. Then for Thomas, he missed out that first occasion. he wanted to see for himself. And Jesus invites him to place his hand, thrust it into his side, and then Thomas makes the great confession about Jesus, my Lord and my God. Things are made better. I'd like you to take a good look at the bulletin cover this morning. It is a painting by Michelangelo Caravaggio. The picture dramatically portrays what is happening in the gospel reading for this morning. Now, normally when we look at a painting, we think that they are a snapshot of a moment in time. But really, it is more than that. Well, being a moment, this painting has a movement. It's pretty remarkable and pretty real. In this painting, what looks like simply a finger in the wound of Jesus is actually the beginning of Thomas's hand going into the side of Jesus's wound. Caravaggio, his painting begs the question. Why does Thomas' hand need to go into the side of Jesus? Well, Jesus is helping Thomas experience the very thing that Thomas needs, and you need, and I need. The heart of Jesus. Thomas needs to touch the heart of Jesus. It is in the heart of Jesus that Thomas's eyes are opened, because the only thing that can change our wounds in our hearts is the heart of Jesus. That is the love of Jesus, which surpasses all understanding. Martin Luther says about this text, and the showing of Jesus' side is nothing but showing of his heart, in order that we may see how kind and a loving father-like his mind is toward us. As Jesus opens his side to Thomas, Jesus is opening his heart so that his love is poured out upon Thomas, so that Thomas's pain and Thomas's shame and Thomas's guilt is washed away. Thus, by going through the wounds of Jesus, Thomas's wounds are healed. Because as the prophet Isaiah says, by his wounds we are healed. You see, Jesus's wounds are different from our wounds, because in the resurrection, even wounds can be redeemed for our healing and our salvation. Jesus' wounds don't remind him of the hurt that he suffered on account of us. Rather, they remind him how much he loves us. And even more than that, because of that love, when we touch the wounds of Jesus, we are not reminded of our sin that caused them, but we are reminded of the extent and the distance that Jesus will go for us to heal our wounds. I don't think it was an accident this morning that little Nixon Roger, as I held him in my arms, was practically laughing. He was, right, Nick? You know why? Because his wounds were being healed. His sin was being washed away. And like Thomas, he was gladdened. My Lord and my God, now God's child. Wounds tell a story. I have a scar on my left knee. Few people know about it. When I was 6 years old, I put an axe in my knee. Not on purpose, mind you. I was trying to be a big boy and help my dad cut down trees. I have that scar. I have that to remind me of my recklessness, my carelessness. Scarred wrists tell of despair. Scarred souls tell of misery and pain. But even these wounds can be taken up into Jesus' wounds and be transformed into part of the resurrection story. How, though? By what Jesus gives out in today's gospel reading, forgiveness of sins. As Jesus has forgiven you all of your sins, he takes all of your wounds and brings them into his wounds so that you would experience the heart of Jesus, the very place of his love. Anything less than entering into Jesus' wounds is not to see his resurrection. We all come with our wounds today and our fears, as did Thomas and the rest of the apostles. Today, Jesus invites you to come to him and place your hands in his side, to touch his heart. He comes through our locked doors, our prisons, and he walks in and he says, "Peace be with you." And he invites you. The place where you touch the heart of Jesus is in his flesh, which this morning for Nixon was at that baptismal font, and which for you today is at the altar where his body and blood is for you, where you touch the body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Savior, upon your lips. Your sin is forgiven there, your wounds are taken into his wounds, and his resurrection gives you life. Now, this is something that will take a little bit getting used to, because we have the tendency to pick at our sinful wounds, and we like to pick at the wounds of others rather than bringing them to Jesus and have him touch us. But through his love and through his forgiveness, he will lead us along the way that turns all things into something new, when you will enter into the wounds of Jesus. And he will give you that peace which surpasses all understanding. It is the only thing that will bring peace. Nothing else will do. So today, Jesus invites you to touch his wounds, his heart, God's love for you. Christ is risen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith to Christ Jesus, to life everlasting. Amen.